Welcome to the Angry Admins podcast for January 15th, 2008, episode 55. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Angry Admins podcast. My name is Joe Bibby.
My name's Ryan Necessary.
And we are back again this week, two in a row. Can you believe it?
I know, it's amazing.
It's like we're doing this on purpose.
We're in town. We're not sick.
Yeah.
Everything's working.
Yeah, although I did just get my internet working at home finally.
Yes, because you've been moved to your new house.
Right. And tried to get U-verse, and they told me I was 300 feet too far away from the VRAD, so... Good old AT&T let me down, and then I had to go back to Comcast. Well, actually, not back to Comcast for the first time ever since moving here, and they were able to get me installed quickly, but ran into some issues with the internet, but finally got that working after being home half the day, struggling with phone calls. But hey, I have cable, and I'm paying them lots of money for something that they don't service very well.
Right. Well, now you're in my hell.
So. That's right. We can enjoy it together.
Yeah.
But big news today was Macworld Expo. The Macworld actually started yesterday, but the big Steve Jobs keynote was today. So we're going to kind of cover that. And that's pretty much mostly what we're going to cover, I guess.
Yeah, I have a few other small things to throw out. But
okay. Well, why don't we go ahead and get started with that? Why don't we just start with... Start with the iTunes rentals.
Okay,
is kind of one of the announcements. Do you care?
I'm interested in it just because I think I might use it if I know I'm going to be stuck somewhere. Like what I used to do, if I'm going to be stuck waiting for my oil to get changed or stuck in a doctor's office or something, I would throw some video podcasts on my iPod so that I would have something to look at. But this means I could actually, you know, rent a movie.
Right,
I could get the low def one,
right,
and throw it on there. Maybe start it on my iTunes and then move it to my iPod,
right,
which is nice to finish it up.
Don't start it on your Apple TV if you buy one, because you cannot move it off your Apple TV. Fail, part one.
Well, I don't think it's gonna be a problem because almost no one has an Apple TV.
Yeah, I do think more people will buy them after this update. So tied to the Apple iTunes rental service is an update to the Apple TV, which has been total failure up until now,
yeah,
except for two hackers who have basically turned it into a really cheap Mac Mini.
Yeah. I would say the Apple TV is probably the biggest black eye they've had, you know,
in a long time. It's probably I would agree with that. Yeah.
You know.
I mean, it really just didn't, you know, after seeing this and the way Steve Jobs always called it a hobby, either he was recovering from an obvious failure or they kind of suckered everyone into paying $300 to test an item for them.
Yeah, like it was a tech
demo. It almost feels
demo.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, here's the beta version, but it's $300. So, I don't know. I like the new updated interface. I'm still probably not going to buy one, even though they're cheaper now,
$229. Mm-hmm. So the real win is that it doesn't need the computer anymore.
Right, which is very cool. You can buy music, rent movies, and you can get HD movies on iTunes now, only through your Apple TV, though.
Right.
The HD movies do not come in through iTunes on... So I guess it's not really through iTunes, but... Yeah, 5.1 surround sound, too, on some of the HD movies, not all. And overall, it looks pretty slick, you know. Cool device. We'll see if it's successful. I would agree that it's probably one of the better set-top boxes like that, but... Anything else you want to say about the iTunes stuff? It really wasn't that big a deal to me. Everybody knew rentals was coming. It was leaked months ago.
Yeah.
So pricing is average. You know, it's nothing really amazing.
It doesn't surprise me. Will I ever use it? Yeah, probably eventually.
Sure. Sure. Although I did try to update. I updated my iTunes and I can't see any rentals yet. So I don't know what's going on there. They're supposed to be available today through iTunes on your Mac and PC. But
no telling.
Either way, it's good, I guess. Next big announcement was the update to the iPhone.
Yes.
Which was a big letdown for me.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
I was really hoping for iPhone 2.0 or iPhone 3G or something besides another thing that had leaked out ahead of time already.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good, but
I really wanted the 3G iPhones, yeah, the faster ones.
I mean, I think both of us are waiting on that, and I've been telling people to wait on that, and
we're going to be waiting a lot longer.
It's still going to be coming, but it almost feels like they're just trying to push out, you know, their current stock.
Yeah, what did they say? They sold 4 million.
Mm-hmm.
So how many could they have in the production chain?
I don't know. They wanted a 1% market share. I don't know what that number would be.
I don't know.
They're not to their 1 year yet, which is what they predicted. 1 year, they would have 1% of the market. But yeah. I don't know. I mean, the update is nice. You can rearrange, you know. You guys have probably seen it if you care anything about Macs. You know what came with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest thing that they added, actually, to the iPhone doesn't seem like it's getting attention is the web clipping. Because a lot of people complained that, you know, you have all these online apps, but you can't do anything with them. You can't go directly to them. Whereas with this, now you can make an icon on your home screen that you click. It goes right to that, even that section of the website, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Not a complicated thing, but a good idea.
So. Yeah, that's kind of good. I do think it's interesting that they, without GPS, can tell you where you are now.
Yeah.
In the maps.
Yeah. Although that's not exclusive to the iPhone.
Right.
Because that's actually, well, using the Wi-Fi stuff is actually a pretty cool thing. The way they use two technologies. Mm-hmm. They're using the Google cell phone and then this other company, Skyhook. Skyhook, yeah.
Yeah.
Using the Wi-Fi stuff. And then I guess they're adding all that functionality to the iPod Touch.
Right.
Also, which previously did not have a mail app or any of the cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to pay, which is stupid. Again, why do they do that? People already paid $300. Why should they have to pay $20?
I really don't have an answer to that.
I mean, it doesn't seem worth it, you know?
Yeah. Well, they know. Well, it's like you showed. I mean, you're going to plug your iPod in. iTunes is going to pop up with that screen that says, click here to add all this new cool stuff to your iPod Touch. Yeah. And people are just going to say, okay, and whatever.
I mean, they can afford to give stuff away on the iPhone because they get part of that monthly charge from AT&T, but...
Yeah, I don't know. That's, especially since it's something that people were probably doing for free before. Now they want to sell it to you.
Right.
Seems kind of...
Yeah.
Weird.
And he really brushed over the SDK. Like, didn't talk about it, didn't... I mean, he mentioned it, the SDK they're going to release in February. I thought that would be featured today.
I don't know. I guess he thought maybe his audience wouldn't appreciate it, or
I don't know. I mean, they didn't talk about how, what, pricing, delivery model, nothing. That really.
Maybe some of it hasn't been tied down yet.
I guess they're behind on it. I don't know. Maybe they weren't. Maybe they really didn't design it for that from the beginning, and so they're having to really go back and overhaul it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. So the other thing, just to get all the iTunes stuff out of the way, there's that Fox deal, too, where they're delivering a iTunes copy on DVDs. Now, did you even see that? You probably missed it.
Mm-mm.
It was a blip. So I think the only thing it's on right now is some Family Guy DVD, and it comes with a iTunes-friendly digital file on the DVD. So you throw it in your Mac or your PC, and you can load it right into iTunes without having to rip it with something like Handbrake.
Oh. Yeah.
But it's got DRM on it.
Of course.
So, but it comes, I mean, it's not an extra fee or anything. It just comes with it. Which is, again, don't really care.
Handbrake's so easy.
Yeah. And then you can control the size and quality.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So we've had, the iPod Touch, the iPhone, the Apple TV, iTunes. There's really only one thing left, I guess, in the announcement. We're kind of tearing through those. Is the new MacBook. The MacBook Air.
Yes.
What do you think?
Well, let me start with a quick anecdote from today. I spent all day today fighting with a brand new Dell Precision 690 workstation
mm-hmm.
that's really the dust hasn't even settled on the thing. It's right. like one of Dell's most high-end, brand new, mm-hmm. gigantic PC
hardware
platforms. Okay. Super expensive. Mm-hmm. It's probably $3,000 for mm-hmm. the workstation. Okay. I spent all day trying to get Windows Update to work on it.
Nice.
So, is it the workstation's problem? I don't know. I went so far as to reinstall the OS twice. I have completely formatted on the long, slow format, the hard drive.
And it still is not working.
And still not happy. So, I don't know if it's because I confirmed with Dell today that, because I'm putting a 32-bit OS on it, because mm-hmm. that's what the users need for their stuff.
Right.
And Dell confirmed today, oh yeah, you can run 32-bit on that, no problem. We have no mm-hmm. known issues about that. So 64, 32-bit, whatever you want to do.
Okay.
And the 32-bit OS is what I'm trying to put on it, but just not working. I've been all over the net, Googled everything about it. I've done registry fixes, DLL, wow. reg serve loads. I've done crazy stuff. And then even in the Dell chat support, they basically were just sending me links to places I'd already been all day. So it's like, thanks for nothing, whatever. So the reason I tell you this is because I spent over 6 hours today fighting with Dell PC hardware
mm-hmm.
and Microsoft operating software.
Yes.
So the same day that the Apple keynote is happening, you would right. think Ryan would be so eager and such in a hating of Microsoft and PC mood that he would really love this new MacBook Air.
Right.
In spite of the day I had, I'm still not wowed by it. And I don't know, maybe I'm just stupid. I don't know.
So let me give you a little background. I have been looking forward to this Macworld since last year. Right. I thought, you know, last year was awesome. You know, I knew that they wouldn't be able to follow it up with something as amazing as the iPhone. I just knew there's no way. They won't be able to come out with anything crazy like that. Because
mm-hmm.
the iPhone was just so impressive. And even though it took 6 months to come out and had some problems, it's still an amazing
seemed
device.
To be worth the wait.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, actually, and let me tell you this too. So, I had to have my cable installed. So, I went into work in the morning. And my cable is getting installed at 11, between 11 and 2.
Right.
And 11 is our time when the keynote started.
Yeah.
So I went to all this trouble of signing up for SMS updates on my phone. I even got in an IRC chat room that had updates coming live over IRC from Ars Technica.
Okay.
Because I knew I was going to be leeching internet off of my neighbor, which it's very slow, and I didn't want to be refreshing, you know, Engadget with a million other people.
Right.
So I'm going back and forth from my computer to the installers, looking at the updates, you know, seeing stuff coming down, and they finally come to the last big thing, the MacBook Air. And I don't think I've been that disappointed in years. Because this had been leaked. And I had thought when I saw that, there's no way that's what it's going to be. The MacBook Air. For one, I don't think the name is good. It doesn't really line up with the product other than it's light and it's sort of wireless. But they left out cell phone wireless, which should have been in there.
Right.
And I have no need for a product of this type in any way, shape, or form. It's not fast enough. It doesn't have the functionality I need. The fact that there is no optical drive bugs me.
Yeah.
I don't care about this product at all. And it's $1,800.
It starts at 18.
Yeah. For the one with the solid state disc is over $3,000.
Yeah. I thought the processor was slow. You know?
Yeah.
And that's just me.
And I think the reason, and now let me say this though, it is a miracle of engineering.
Oh yeah. I don't dispute that A, it's beautiful.
Right.
B, that it's very cutting edge and
right.
all the things that,
exactly.
and that three, that it's avant-garde and that they said, we don't need the optical drive
right.
anymore.
Right.
Know? So I give them kudos for going out on that limb and staying mm-hmm. out there.
Yes.
And it's typical Apple. It is, you know, maybe a little bit of form over function.
Right.
You know, like we cared about how beautiful it was. But so you and I are sysadmin. So obviously things like no optical drive, things like that, we kind of cringe.
Right.
What about like your wife who also uses the same Mac?
My wife wants this.
Okay. So, and okay, but for her, would you advise it or no, advise against it?
I would not buy this for her. Because as soon as she got it, she would try to stick a CD in it to play music.
Yeah.
And even though she has lots of iTunes music, she still plays CDs on her Mac. And that's pretty a common occurrence.
Yeah. Well, for $99, you can get the Super Drive.
Yes, exactly.
That goes with it.
That only works with that, too, by the way. Because it has special technology in it to let it power the device over USB. Because it's not a standard power signal. Yeah, and the technology, you know, they showed the break apart and the size of the electronics is amazing. Mm-hmm. The fact that they were able to get Intel to shrink their Core 2 Duo chip, which is their most successful chip they've ever had, they changed it for Apple.
Right.
To make it fit in this device. They came up with a new technology to let you use an optical drive from a PC or a Mac remotely on this device.
Right. Although, this is something that we used to do 10 years ago with Unix.
Right.
We
exactly
mounted remote.
Yeah.
Okay, but I won't go there.
But this does it with a simple click.
Yeah, I agree. You don't have to know mount commands and stuff like that.
So it's not amazing technology. It's amazing ease of use, I guess, is what I mean.
Right.
The fact that it's a 13-inch screen is impressive. I just don't want it. It only has one USB port. That's not enough for me. Definitely not enough for me.
Now you also need what I have, which is the mini DVI to DVI.
Right, so for me to use this, I would need the MacBook Air. I would need the Ethernet adapter, which is $30, because it doesn't have Ethernet built in. I would need the CD-ROM drive, which is, what was it, $199 or $99?
The external CD-ROM is $99.
$99, yeah, you said that. Okay. I would need a USB hub, which would not work with the CD-ROM drive.
Right.
So I would have to unplug that and plug it back in all the time.
Yeah.
And I would need a sledgehammer for my face, because every time I used it, I would get frustrated. I don't know.
So how about this? I'm coming around the backside of this. Who is it for?
So I've been thinking about this as I was sitting home frustrated with Comcast. Who are they targeting with this? For $1,800, it's clearly not a budget PC. Which they could have gone that route, like the Asus Triple E PC or something like that.
Yeah,
it's like this cheap, small device. I see this as something for people with lots of money who want something that they can carry around with them in their briefcase, in their bag. They don't want a big laptop bag. I see this for like the CEO, and I see this for those types of people. You need more than one computer to have this, it seems to me. Mm-hmm. I don't see anyone using this exclusively as their computer, unless they really are just a...
It almost does presuppose that there are other computers around to take up the slack for the things that it doesn't do.
Right.
You know.
And I like where that's going. You know, I think that's the future, but that future is not for me yet.
Right.
Anyway. Because I need the power. It doesn't have enough power. It's, I don't know. And it's way too expensive for what you get.
Yeah. I'm still satisfied with my little MacBook.
Right.
You know.
Which is, you know, still you can get for $700 less than this.
Yeah.
It's thicker, but...
But not by a lot.
It's faster.
Yeah. I mean, it's... I don't know. It's everything I need. I mean, the laptop I had before this was the Toshiba Satellite that I bought back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing I bought because I'm a sysadmin and I needed something with serial ports, you know, and multiple USB. And I wanted it to be somewhat rugged. And, you know, it was my Swiss Army knife. So, and that's what this was taking the place of. But as a sysadmin, if I have a thing that doesn't have an optical drive and doesn't have, you know, wired Ethernet and all that kind of stuff, then it doesn't really help me at work. And my laptop for me at home, other than the, if I take the podcast out of the equation, really it's just a convenience device.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's okay, I can sit on the couch and check my Gmail instead of sitting at my nice giant computer with my comfortable large yeah. office chair, you know.
Yeah. But, well, and we haven't even touched on that there's no way to expand the size of the hard drive or the RAM or replace the battery yourself unless you take it apart.
Right. I wonder if they're just trying to go where no one else has gone, and the other the reason people haven't gone there is because it's not practical, maybe.
Well, but this I don't think this is the first device to target this audience. I think it's the first device that looks this good. I mean, they talked about right. the Sony in the keynote, and we've got those little HPs at work that have an external optical drive.
Yeah. So I figure, you know, if Steve Jobs is in on the design meeting, he's like, what makes laptops ugly?
Mm-hmm.
They're thick, they're heavy, they're creaky, they have holes on every side of it. Holes right. on the left side, holes on the right side, right. holes in the back. And he's like, take out all the holes.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, that's what makes it useful. No, take out the holes. Take out the CD-ROM drive. Yeah. You know, he's like, all I want to see is buttons and a screen.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah,
I don't know.
They clearly made this look sleek. I mean, there's no hard edges. It's rounded.
It's for Paris and Puff Daddy.
Yeah.
That's their
yeah,
laptop.
I mean, that's what it feels like. Is that's who, I mean, it's probably going to sell for them.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine that's a big enough market to really target. I guess they'll drop them like crazy and replace them. But
so what did you tell me that it starts at?
$1,799.
Yeah. So I almost wish this had went the other way.
Mm-hmm.
To where if he came back and he said, look, it doesn't have all this extra stuff, and because of that, I can sell it to you for, you know, $900.
Right.
Now maybe I'm interested.
Yeah.
You know, but the fact that it's twice as expensive and does half as much, mm-hmm. you lost me. I'm gone.
See, and that's what Asus did with their triple EPC. It's like a 7-inch screen, no optical drive, small keyboard. Runs only Linux, but it's $499.
Yeah, so just buy a Trio or just buy
yeah,
a...
Yeah, exactly. Just see, that's my thing, too, is I've already got the powerful laptop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's my all... It's what I use all the time. So it can't be this little thing.
Right.
And then my secondary device is going to be my phone, which right now is a Blackjack, which sort of works. And, you know, I'll eventually replace it with something that works better, whether that's an iPhone or not, is up to Steve Jobs and his 3G release.
Right. I'm really hoping that we'll see a 3G iPhone by Christmas.
Yeah, I am too. They've acted like it's going to be this year. Steve has said it. One of the vice presidents at AT&T said it. I can't imagine they would wait, but...
I don't know. Maybe they're just trying to add everything, every bit of icing they can to their existing stock mm-hmm. before they come out with the...
It seems like that's what they're doing.
So maybe look for like a press event, say October, November-ish,
yeah.
maybe.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say on the one-year anniversary they're going to announce it. June, whatever that was, June something.
Well, they always take such a beating for coming out with something new.
They do.
Right after everyone spent all their money.
Yeah.
So now if they come out with 3G, you know, it's just going to be, oh, great, now they've yeah. done.
I guess I should have known that it wouldn't be coming out yet because it really has been only, he said, 200 days since it actually, the iPhone came out.
Yeah.
That's not that long. They usually wait at least a year. But... Oh, the other thing we didn't talk about on the MacBook Air is the new touchpad.
That was multi-touch. Impressive. The multi-touch on the touchpad is something new.
And I was wondering when I was first watching it why they couldn't just release that as a patch or an update to the current systems. But the difference is the current pads only take 2 fingers, and that one requires 3 to do a lot of its activities. And I think it's actually a different type of sensor. I'm hoping, because I could easily do that on this pad right here that's yeah. in front of me.
Well, maybe he'll make it available to you for $20.
Oh, if only. The micro increases.
Yeah, jeez. It's like downloadable content
yeah.
for games.
So, overall impressions of this year?
I don't know if it was just because I had a horrible tech day or if it's because it's raining outside, but I'm not crazy about it.
Honestly, I'm more excited about the Apple II or the Apple TV update than the MacBook Air or any of the other things. And that I'm not even that excited about that. As I was watching, I was thinking, oh, maybe I would actually buy that now. And then now it's worn off and I don't want it.
You're already over it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we're just drinking the Haterade.
I don't know, man. I'm a pretty hardcore fanboy. I was really excited about it.
I thought maybe you were going to say you were so excited.
I know. I was kind of leaning you towards that, but it didn't happen.
Hmm. Well, I don't know. They can't hit a home run. I'm sure there's folks out there tonight that are... I mean, I got an email from my sister. She really wants this, but she doesn't have a laptop right now.
Yeah. I guess the difference is the past items, you know, the MacBook Pro updates, the iPhone even, those are still kind of leaning towards the power user. And this is definitely targeting the casual user and is really perfect for that person. You know, whether it's your sister, who's not quite a casual user, I would say, but leaning towards that. Yeah,
she's somewhere in between.
And, I mean...
What do you think about the durability of it? I kept thinking I'm just going to break it like a potato chip.
So, you know, the fact that it's an aluminum case makes me feel pretty good. Although, I mean, you can see mine right here has a dent where I don't even know how that happened.
Looks like you hit an iceberg or something.
But I tear my MacBook Pro up pretty good. I mean, I'm bringing it to and from work every day. I'm pretty hard on it, and it's pretty durable. And from just looking at this, it seems pretty durable. They're talking about a glass display, which makes me worried. But the iPhone has proved that glass can actually be better.
Hmm.
It's an LED backlight, which is good. Yeah, so that'll help it last longer. I feel like it's durable, but I really won't know until I get hands on it. What do you think? Felt like it was cheap. I mean, not cheap, but
like fragile. I think I'd have to touch it to get that impression.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because I felt that way about the iPhone when I first saw it. I was like, oh, that's awesome, but that's going to break, and I'm going to have to put a gigantic case on that. And then after holding it and seeing tests on it, it's pretty durable.
Right. So I'm going to reserve final judgment, you know, for maybe 6 months to where I see them in the wild and maybe touch one in an Apple store. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I have to tell you, I never really drank the Kool-Aid on the iPhone. Yeah. I mean, I want a 3G iPhone, but I can definitely wait.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not laying in bed at night tossing and turning dreaming about it. So
What if it was $199?
For 3G? Or for the current?
Either.
Yeah, I would get it.
Yeah.
I mean, I would get a 3G iPhone at the current price.
What's keeping you from getting one besides the 3G?
Okay, the answer to that, the short answer is my big, thick, clunky Samsung works too good. It always has
a
buttload of bars. It has never dropped a call that I can remember in my 2.5 years of running it. And it is thick, clunky.
Does AT&T have anything to do with that, keeping you from moving over? Not really.
No. I mean, I hate pretty much all phone companies equally.
That's true. Good point.
Verizon's always had good signal for me here where we are. So I'm just afraid, not really your experience with your recent phone, but just I'm just afraid that a new phone will not work as good and be more expensive.
It's not been great, I'll have to say. It was great at first, and it seems to be getting worse. And I don't know. It's the only thing keeping me from an iPhone is price and 3G.
Yeah, those are major factors.
But,
So anything else about the Apple stuff you want to talk about before we move on?
That's really about it for Apple news for me. Okay.
Well, let me bridge us over into a few other items for the non-Mac people who are suffering through this. So Apple has partnered with Google for all their Maps, stuff like that.
Right.
If you're just interested in Google Maps or use Google Maps, there's a new thing that Google Maps started doing this week, which is they're now integrating Weather Channel data. So if you go to Google Maps, if you go there and you go to the My Maps tab, there are some checkboxes on the bottom left, and they're all to do with weather. And you can say, show me temperatures in my area. And so you can zoom all the way out or all the way in as far as you want. It'll show you temperatures for the towns around you or wherever you're looking. You can say overlay the cloud cover, the current cloud cover, and it'll pop it on there.
Really?
Overlay the current rainfall. It'll lay that on there. And you can turn off any of these layers, you know, at will or turn them all off.
That's pretty sweet.
And I mean, it's not huge, but it, you know, it got... over 1,000 digs on dig.com. So nice. That was, somebody cares about it. And I'll probably use it. I mean, because I look at Google Maps quite a bit. So.
Sure, absolutely.
But so that was one thing. another thing I saw this week was, let's see, they estimated 1 billion podcast downloads last year in 2007. So indicating that podcasting is alive and well.
Nice.
So 1 billion, that's a lot.
That's a lot of downloads.
So we had a few of those in there. So
a very small percentage. Yeah.
So, and it was nice to see the on the new Apple TV that they was directly supporting video and audio podcasts.
Right.
So
yeah, that you can actually play them, although it's streaming right there. You don't have to subscribe on your computer.
Right. There was another story about Network Solutions stealing the domain names. Did you see this?
No.
So yeah, this is pretty good. So some folks got suspicious that they were putting in some very obscure, obtuse names into Network Solutions, the DNS registration site.
Right.
They were checking on the availability of them, but they wouldn't buy them.
Mm-hmm.
And then invariably, they would come back later, and they would all be like on hold or back ordered or not available.
Really?
So they thought, this sounds suspicious. So they kind of dug back through the domain history database, and they're claiming that, yeah, for sure, they're taking people's domains.
Wow.
If you ask them if it's available and don't get it, it's gone.
Wow.
So that's pretty flaky.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. So lesson learned.
Really bad.
If you have a cool domain name that you've just thought up, you know, seal the deal. Don't put it in and check on it and then not get it. I mean, it's too cheap not to just go out and do it.
Now, is Network Solutions the main provider? Is that right? Or is that somebody else? I cannot remember off the top of my head. I'm putting you on the spot here.
Yeah, and I'm not that super deep into the story.
I'm just spreading
the rumor.
I want to say that they're one of the main providers and that, like, other people purchase them through them. Like, originally there was only one place to buy domain names. That may not be Network Solutions. Either way, it's bad.
So this is from the article, and we'll have a link to this in the show notes. If a customer chooses not to register the domain name with Network Solution, they are forced to wait 4 days for Network Solutions to delete the domain name in the free ad grace period. After the 4-day hostage period, the customer is freed from the hostage situation and can register the domain somewhere else. However, Network Solutions has now exposed these domains to domain tasters that will snipe those domains up to milliseconds after Network Solutions deletes them.
That's insanity.
So it's like once it goes out there, then you're kind of in trouble.
I guess you could like put some of those snipers out of business, create some bot to look up a bunch of stupid, useless domain names.
Right. Well, of course, the effect of this was people started registering like screwnetworksolutions.com and stopstealingmydomains.com, and so all of that went out there.
Nice.
But so that was interesting.
That's funny.
That you know, hit the radar this week.
One of the other things I did see this week is you remember the Drobo? The NAS device, or not NAS device, the USB only device.
Yeah.
They released a NAS add-on to that. Did you see this thing?
No.
So basically you plug your Drobo into this little, it looks like a little mini hard drive itself.
Mm-hmm.
You plug into that and then it's got a splitter for power, so you still only have one power brick, and it turns your Drobo into a NAS.
Hmm.
Instead of releasing a Drobo with NAS, they just have this and then the add-on.
Yeah.
Now, here's the problem. It's $200.
Aw. Because the Drobo's not cheap.
No, it's something like $7.99 for both things without drives.
Wow.
The cool thing is you still keep all the great functionality, and they added... what did they add? They added EXT3 support, finally.
Yeah.
Which is the first. And it does do standard SMB mounting, which is good, because some of these NASs like this, they do some weird, you have to install drivers and that kind of thing. But
yeah,
either way, I was kind of disappointed by that, because they're a great company, and it's a cool device.
It is cool. I do like it. Interesting.
And that does remind me of one thing that I did skip over from the Apple announcement, the new time capsule. Did you see this thing?
Yeah, that was nice too.
See, I didn't think it was nice. Now let me tell you why. Because they should have just added that functionality to the Airport Extreme that people already have that has a USB port on the back.
Mm-hmm.
And let people share Time Machine stuff over that.
So you're saying plug in your hard drive that you've been using for Time Machine into the airport with this existing USB and just...
Or any, even a new one. They don't support that USB shared device on the Airport Extreme that they make with Time Machine. So they basically created a new device by taking something that should already work with their current thing.
Do you think that all the airports in the future will have the built-in hard drive?
It's a separate thing. They're still selling the Airport Extreme.
Mm.
Now, the price on the time capsule is good, but I don't know. I was disappointed by that.
I guess the only reason they did it is because this is the way to back up the air.
Right. Yeah. But why couldn't they just add that to the Airport Extreme?
Yeah, I don't know.
But anyway, we don't need to go back to Apple.
Yeah, so that's that. And then what else was there? There's one more thing. Oh, so the funny thing was there was a story on Digg about so somebody had a problem with some Microsoft stuff, so they called for help to Microsoft. You know, hey, help me fix my junk. So they never heard back. Oh, okay. I mean, that's tech support. I mean, that's what you're in for when you call for help. You know, unless of course they call Ryan or Joe, because
then they'll hear back immediately.
I know, with a solution and a peppermint.
That's right.
this guy 10 years later, his phone rings. Hi, this is whatever with Microsoft. I'm here to call you back about your problem that you had. So he's like, well, what are you talking about? So, and then they describe the problem to him, and yeah, it was ten years later. Wow. Now, what actually happened, apparently when you get into their help database,
mm-hmm.
There are times when they call you back the next day.
Right.
So someone fat-fingered the date
to
be 10 years off.
Okay.
So 10 years and one day, or 10 years and 2 days after his issue, that's when he got called back. But weird, though, that they still have the same database structure.
Yeah, that seems
got turned over.
That seems odd that it would... I mean, I guess it could be upgraded, but why would they keep 10-year-old database stuff?
He says the original call was placed on January 7th, 98, and they were supposed to call him back the next day, but instead of typing 1898, they typed 1808. That's what they think.
Or the other way around.
Yeah, or something like that.
Yeah.
So...
Huh.
Yeah. But I just thought that was funny. That 10 that years later. Good. I mean, it makes me feel like my response time is pretty good, you know.
Yeah. So the only other thing I saw that I just thought I should mention to you, you bought Rock Band recently.
Yes,
and
I did.
And you're enjoying it very much.
Yes.
And I enjoyed it when we played last week. Did you see the new little accessory that's coming out for that?
No.
So for $99.99, you can get your own Rock Band stage kit.
What is the stage kit?
So I guess all it is some interactive light and smoke
that hooks
into the system.
That is
and,
so funny.
And goes to the beat of the music and like ties into it.
Is it an official Rock Band thing?
Yeah.
From Harmonix? Or is it is it like a third party thing?
It's not clear. You can get it from GameStop for $100 and
That's so funny.
It doesn't ship till June 23rd, though.
Oh. Yeah, the bundle I got has all the stuff in it, and they're going to start splitting them up so you can just buy a piece of it.
Yeah.
But that's funny. That is so funny.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
Wow. That's cool. I'll have to look for that.
See, yep. So Xbox, they're going to out accessory Wii. Just wait.
Yes.
Well, that's going to wrap up one more episode of The Angry Admins.
Yes.
I want to thank everybody for listening in, and please go to our website if you are interested in any of these stories that we talked about. We will have links to those. And if you want to hear any of our old episodes to see how far we've come from day one.
Be afraid.
Yes. Until next time, I'm Joe Bibby.
And I'm Ryan Necessary.
Keep up with the hater raid.